Bible study. We had to wait the whole week for the next Bible study. We had it only on Sundays. And I was waiting for when would Sunday come around that we could get to this Bible study. Such was the Bible study that he led on John's Gospel. The Word of God just came alive to me. And the things he taught me in the few months that we had together, I'll never know the debt that I owe to him. A soldier of Christ, of the finest quality. My heart, of course, was very heavy, almost broken. When a few months later, after a Bible study we had together, he went home and the police were waiting for him. He was not allowed even to step into his house to say goodbye to his people, to pick up his toothbrush. Right at the door of his house, he was taken away. That's the last time I've seen him. I still think of him very much. I owe him so much under God. I constantly pray that God will do a mighty work yet through him. He was sentenced to hard labor. I don't know where he is now. But these are mighty men of God. My spiritual coaching was under men of God. I owe more to them than to Bible college, to theological seminary, to anything else. These are the men who taught me to be a soldier of Christ. That was my privilege, to be taught by these Chinese soldiers of Christ. There's another brother, Brother Yang. Yang Sujie. How much I owe him. You see, it's wonderful the Lord's planning. Because after Henry Choi was taken away, Tai Tishung, when he was taken away, I was left, as it were, with no more father, spiritually speaking. And presently, what happened? Yang Sujie appeared. This was another mighty man of God from inland China. He had been the teacher. And one day he was sitting in his garden, as he told me, and he saw the vision of God calling him forth to pray, to preach the gospel. And he went out. His wife disowned him. He said, "You want to become a preacher? You get out of the house. I'm not going to have a preacher for a husband." He said, "Okay, God has called me. I have to go." He loved Jesus. As the Lord Jesus said, "If any man loves father or mother or husband or wife or child, whatever it is more than me is not worthy of me." He loved his wife. He loved Jesus more. He went out. He went into jail. He came out of jail. He preached the gospel. Still nothing frightened him. This mighty man of God taught me for several months more. Oh, what a wonderful privilege. He shared with me the things of God. He taught me the wonders of the living God. He had meetings, and I went to his meetings, and my eyes were opened. I thought, these things don't happen anymore today. These were in the New Testament, but they don't happen today. But you know, they do. He preached the gospel. He was no faith healer. He preached the gospel. But after the message, he would ask people who were sick or spiritually or physically to come forward, and he would pray for them. And amazing things happened. People with cancer were cured. People who were deaf were able to hear again. People with stomach ulcers for 20 years. Amazing things began to happen. I said to myself, "Hey, am I dreaming, or is the New Testament really coming alive in front of me?" And certainly the New Testament came alive. He was a man of prayer. Day and night he prayed before God. A heart that sang and rejoiced in the Lord. I was speaking the theme of Philippians, rejoicing in the Lord. How he rejoiced. And every morning he would get up singing to the Lord. And you know, he was a poet. He composed poems. And, so, and often in the morning he would come to me and he'd say, "You know, Brother Chang, listen to this poem I composed this morning." And there he would be sharing the praise with me until my own heart was burning inside of me. And he would be talking to me about the things that God did, and we forgot all time. We seemed to be transported into eternity. Discovered that we had arrived at 2 o'clock or something in the morning. Such wonderful days. A soldier of Christ. Enduring hardship for his name's sake. You know, the police were looking for him everywhere. They said, "Who is this man? Who is this man that whenever he comes to a place and he preaches there, the whole place is filled up, and the moment we want to grab him, he disappears. And the next moment, somewhere we hear that the meetings again, they rush there to grab hold of him, and he's disappeared again." You know, that's what I call one of the Lord's guerrilla fighters. Oh. I think Chairman Mao never knew that there were Chinese, the Christian guerrilla fighters too, and when he wrote about his books on guerrilla tactics. This was an amazing man. He would come up, he would disappear again, he would come up, and what things God did through this man. What hardship. Any moment there might be a knock on the door and he would be taken away. But he was always with joy. Do you think he was nervous? He was shaking all the time? Never. He was always at peace. Thanking the Lord, praising the Lord. And, oh, you know, we used to have meals together. I didn't know how to cook, you see. And he knew how to cook only one thing. He could cook fish. We had fish every day. So we had one bowl of rice and one cheap fish that we managed to get from the market, which he prepared. And then he would give thanks. And he would praise God for this food and the loving provision of the Lord. And he would go on, and I'd say, hey, what have we got on the table? Have I missed something on this table? All I see is one tiny fish on the table. And there he is praising God and thanking God. Soldier of Christ. Such a man, I can fancy, was Paul. What a glorious servant of the Lord. A soldier of Christ. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. And you, he says, are in the same conflict with me. Are you? I wonder if I asked how many of you are soldiers of Christ fighting in the same conflict, how many of you dare honestly before God to raise your hand? How many would dare to raise your hand? Of totally committed soldiers of Christ, what have you ever endured for Christ? What have you ever suffered for him? Have you had your name taken by the police? Have you had a knock on your door at any time? Have you had suffered any hunger for his namesake? Persecution, shame, unable to get an education? Soldiers of Christ. A good friend of mine in Shanghai, because he was a Christian, was denied an education. He was not allowed to get any higher education because of being a Christian. What have you ever suffered for Christ? You moan when things are going a little bit difficult? Read Philippians chapter 1. The soldier of Christ. Only they experience the loving kindness and the power of God. These are the ones who joy in God. We have to rush on. And in these few moments, let me show you how this theme goes through the whole of Philippians. Catch the vision of chapter 1. Philippians has four chapters. And these four chapters give us four different pictures of the Christian life. Just as the four Gospels give us four pictures of the Lord Jesus, so the book of Philippians gives us four pictures of the Christian. The first picture then, the picture of the Christian soldier, the gladiator, if you like, in the arena, with all eyes, the eyes of the whole world are looking at you. Do you know your responsibility for carrying the name of Christ? That every fellow student, every colleague in your office, or in the hospital, or wherever you are, has their eyes on you. Did you know that? You carry his name, just as every soldier. You are wearing a uniform, a spiritual uniform, and people are looking at you to see whether that uniform is tidy, whether it's clean, whether your Christian life stands up to examination, or whether you're selfish, inconsiderate, proud, money-loving. What is it? So, the first picture, and I'll leave you to think what the other pictures are. We will have no time to deal with chapter 4 since we are dealing only with three pictures, but maybe towards the end I'll tell you what that picture is. The first picture then is of the Christian soldier. What does the Christian soldier do? We saw already one thing. He's prepared to suffer. In verse 7, Paul says, he's a prisoner. A prisoner for Christ. Suffering for his name's sake in the dungeon. That's what a Christian must be prepared to do. Verse 7 also speaks of the defense. A good military word again. The defense. You see there in verse 7? Defense and confirmation of the gospel. Another military term. You'll find it spread throughout the script in this chapter. Verse 19, rescue, deliverance. Yes, Paul speaks about a spiritual rescue operation, something that actually happened to him. He came out of prison, so far as we know. God was able to bring him out. A rescue operation is often mounted. You have known of these military exploits through the years. The expedition to rescue Mussolini was one of the probably most hair-raising ones. Right out of the Allies' hands, Mussolini was taken away by the Germans, rescued out of their hands. Not that he lived very much longer as a result of this, but a rescue operation. Then in verse 20, every soldier has to be prepared, 20 and onwards, to face the reality of death. You know, it's in the face of death that you can see the quality of many men. It's amazing how many Christians, when they face up to death, become squeamish. When death comes about, they seem to be the end of the world for them. But Paul does not think like this. In verse 21, Paul says, for me to live is Christ. To die is gain. Those are the words of a soldier. Think about it. I leave you to think about it. To live is Christ. Without Christ, there is no more purpose in life, no meaning in life, no direction in life. My whole purpose of living is for Christ. To glorify Him, to serve Him, to obey Him, to do His work, to fight His battles. For me to live is Christ. Take away Christ and life is not worth living. But thanks be to God, nobody can take away Christ. To die is disaster, is tragedy. Not at all. It's to gain. To gain the crown. To gain the highest honor that any soldier could give. The laying down of his life. To gain what? To gain eternal life, of course. Something that no earthly soldier can ever hope for. No soldier of the world could ever hope for. Why are Christians afraid to die? But every Christian in China knows this. None of us became Christians in China without knowing that we were prepared to pay the supreme price, perhaps even our lives. But death is not the worst thing that can happen to a soldier. To be maimed, to be crippled, to be blinded, these are far worse than death. And every soldier must be prepared for that. And how many soldiers of Christ in China today, at this very moment, suffer for His name's sake, many of whom are known to me personally, for whom my heart longs. And one day, God willing, my work is not finished yet. We will get the gospel to China. Their labor shall not be in vain. We shall yet fight with them side by side. I have not come out here to enjoy myself. God brought me out to the West not to have an easy life, but to prepare the battlefields, the battle ranks, the armies of the Lord, so that we may fight together and be prepared to take the casualties. So every Christian must be prepared to face the issue of death clearly and decisively, to know that for me to die is gain. And so, as we saw in verse 27, we are prepared to fight, striving, struggling, straining. In verse 28, we see the reference to the opponents, the enemies, another good military expression. Every soldier knows that he has enemies. And so in nothing it says here, in nothing being frightened by your enemies. Yes, we have many enemies, strong enemies, powerful enemies. But a soldier of Christ is not afraid of the odds. He knows that his God is able to save, no matter by many or by few. In fact, he prefers to save by the few. Did you know that? If you've read the Old Testament, you've read the story of Gideon. The whole great armies of Israel. God said, I don't go fight with all these armies. Give me just 300 men. 300 dedicated men, and I will turn the tide on the enemy. You know, many Christians still think in terms of numbers. We are so few, there are so many, indeed. But if you think like this, you haven't thought God's thoughts after him. It is the quality of the men that matters, not the numbers. And so, we see then that Christian soldiers must advance. In this chapter, verse 12, verse 25, there's advance, progress. In fact, these two words are the same Greek word in the original. A good soldier does not fall back, he advances. Presses forward in the face of enemy fire. He is not intimidated. He does not run in the face of the enemy. He goes forward, frightened by nothing, not by gunfire, not by whatever it is they have to throw at him. They go forward, the good soldier. These are the kind of men. As you can see now, I just give you the picture of the whole chapter. You have done the individual verses, perhaps. But once you get the picture, the whole of the chapter is easy to follow. That key opens every verse. Just look at it and you will see it. Bear in mind in the chapter 1, the Christian soldier. And if then you have listened to this message and God has spoken to your heart, you are ashamed of yourself, as I often have been, of the ease, the comfort, the weakness in which we have become today. And you say, Lord, help me by your grace to be a good soldier of yours. Forgive me that I have grumbled in the past whenever things went a little bit hard against me. When you were preparing me for battle and I could not stand the training. Lord, give me the strength to stand for you today. I will be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. As Paul says to Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That's what we must do. This is the message of Philippians 1. Take it into your heart and ask yourself today, what am I? Am I a Christian? That is the Christian That is what Paul defines to us in chapter 1 as a Christian. Do you live up to his high calling? That is our high calling. May God then speak to every heart. And now let us be quiet before the Lord for a few moments. And let God speak to us.